Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the third and final hour of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Doug and Joe Hagman bringing you an overview of what's we believe is important in the context of, well, in the context that there is no political solution to our political problems and really no political solution or political savior that's going to bring us forth out of the morass in which we find ourselves. Before we get into the programming, I do want to mention, folks, Whole Tones Live. Oh, if you when you look at the news and you're into this, the election, this stuff that's going on, how can you cope? How can anyone cope? Stressed much? Overwhelmed much? I think so. Do you feel like you have no control over anything? Well, you're not alone. You know, you can experience, and I stress this, you can experience the scientifically proven powers of music therapy through WholeTonesLive.com. WholeTonesLive.com. They have there a collection of proven music therapy that can help reduce stress, ease your mind, motivate you, calm you, well, just about any type of attitude that will affect your altitude. Whole Tones Live has it. They've got a collection of proven music therapy that can help reduce stress, that can ease your mind in these troubled times, and can motivate you in those times when you don't know where to turn, where to look, and you're just all, you're just under the dumpster of headlines. You can get started today, folks, and listen to a free sample of this just amazing music that heals and inspires. Oh, go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. WHOLE. WholeTonesLive.com. We've gotten so many emails by satisfied people, by listeners to this program who said, hey, I've ordered Whole Tones Live and it's revolutionized. It's changed a lot in my life. It changed my moods when I'm at the office. It changed moods when I'm at home. I play it in my car. I mean, I've got a long commute. Hey, road rage. I haven't, flipped anyone off lately. I'm just kidding on that. But really, this will change your life, and I mean that. I started using it shortly before Michael Terrell came on our program. You can look up the episode, and that's a great episode if you want to learn about frequencies and about what the Bible has to say about frequencies. He explained how the music was inspired by the music frequencies of King David. So, folks, do yourself a favor and do those around you a favor, I think. I'm sure. Go to the website and download a free sample at WholeTonesLive.com. And, folks, all you have to do on all of those people we talk about are sponsors. Go to Hagman and Hagman.com and choose the sponsor. In this case, Whole Tones Live. It'll take you right to WholeTonesLive.com. There you can download a free sample of Whole Tones Live. And don't just stop there. Once you experience that, go ahead and order from WholeTonesLive.com. You can support our broadcast and go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. W-H-O-L-E Tones, WholeTonesLive.com. Welcome back. We're talking about the greater, bigger picture here. And of course, so we've got few choices. The people are being selected for us. In the end, does it really matter? Well, in the end, perhaps it might not, because the agenda is what? The agenda is to take America down from within. And how do you do that? You consolidate power into the executive branch. And you make everything as one. You're able to control six, as in a reference to the corporate media, better than you can control 600. You can better control a dozen senators or a dozen reps than you can control 535. Or you can control five Supreme Court justices better than you can control nine.
Or you can own and control human souls.
That's right.
Through earthly systems, just yes, as the scriptures warned about.
We do live, on the earth, so we have to participate. Well, we do have to live. We are appointed not to be, you know, couch potatoes. We have to make a difference. We have our positions to play. We must play them, but we must do so spiritually minded. But we do so understanding that there are wars being fought in the heavens, and as they are on earth, of course, and there are terrors among us, and we have to be spiritually mature to understand and to see that wait a minute, we have been infiltrated. And that goes for our systems of government, that goes for really everything, including our churches, but even those around us. You see, we are now in a position, as we look out over the geopolitical landscape, the war, rumors of war, stuff going on in the Middle East, stuff going on in our own government, stuff going on abroad, stuff going on here. Yeah, we've talked about the alien invasion, not meaning little green men, but those, the Muslims, being sent to small towns in America, not New York City necessarily. No. The towns that look much like those in Sweden and elsewhere. You see, now America is bearing that burden, and it's being done under the pretext of a humanitarian crisis, but it's being done to change our moral and religious and spiritual fabric of this country. But all of this, when we are caught up in this and talking about the infiltration, we know, for example, and we're going to be getting tomorrow talking about more into the groundwork of the Tavistock Institute from its creation through the CIA, through its application to today. That's tomorrow, Tavistock tomorrow. But just to lay the groundwork, and I've gone over this with you before, you know, the Tavistockian model follows a series of steps. What's really undeniable here, ladies and gentlemen, is that there is a cabal to take over. There's a cabal to establish the old world order. That's called the new world order. But what are their objectives? And I've mentioned this before. Obviously, first of all, to break down, for example, the constitutional institutions, whether that be the military, the police forces, of course, to be reorganized for civil action. Here in the United States, what do we see? We see the federalization of the police forces. Some might say, well, that's a good thing because of the threat of terrorism. Well, the threat of terrorism, of course, is a threat that's been orchestrated, amplified, and exploited. But here we have, you got to break down the democratic constitutional systems and institutions here in America and all throughout the West. That's one of the main goals. And especially, you know, after World War II, this really gained ground. Now, you've got to recruit and infiltrate using fascist recruits into community control, gangs. And then you have to have gangs that counter the gangs, and you got terrorists, and then those who counter the terrorists or the counter-terrorist organizations. You see, but it's a level of infiltration like you've never seen before. And then you eliminate through subversion, through assassination, through military intervention, through by way of embargoes or popular or spontaneous uprisings of the regimes, the people in power that have outlived their usefulness. And we've seen that when, for example, when Kennedy broke his chain and became his own man, he outlived his usefulness. Reagan, they attempted to take him down too, March of 1981. Okay, look what happened after that. Who really ran the show, really, after that? One can argue reasonably that it was George H.W. Bush. Okay, but what about the steps toward establishing this fascist model with a democratic face, with a friendly face? Oh, it's okay. What are the methods? What's the model? What are the steps, the topics toward establishing this fascism? Well, how about area, population, psychological studies? Now look, during the Second World War, and I just want to mention this because I think it's important, the West, the warfare, the Anglo-American psychological warfare machinery, the services that were developed, they developed actually a number of studies. They produced a number of studies that we use today. They were studying specific neurotic tendencies, if you will, of cultures. As hideous as this sounds, this is true. The most famous of these studies was, in fact, the strategic bombing survey. It was conceived as a basis for coordinating the Allied bombing of Germany with propaganda and other psychological warfare campaigns against the morale of various enumerated strata of the Third Reich population. Now, here's what I'm saying about this. I'll even go a step further. This was a precursor to what we saw in Vietnam. This is a precursor to the CIA-led Operation Phoenix, Vietnam. This was a genocide operation, if you don't know what I'm talking about, in South Vietnam against supporters of the Viet Cong. Just to kind of summarize what that was, it was a the strategic bombing survey mapped our best way to destroy the morale of the civilian population at the lowest cost. This is what we see taking place all over the world today. All right. And how did they do it? What was the other part? Because this is kind of like a cog, the big wheel of the cogs. They control the media, which answers the question, well, why is it that you had so many media outlets back in the 70s and 80s, mid-80s, but you only have six today? Because the use of control of major media news and cultural media as instruments of inducing desired forms of you ready for this? Partial insanity. Really? Among large populations, that's what we're seeing here. In general, by controlling the editorial policies, for example, the specific bias, we'll say, the news slant concerning national and international issues. You see, this is important. The key news agencies, those who we term the Illuminati-controlled mass media, the corporate media, the six media outlets, the main mass circulating media, they determine what the population hears, sees, and reads. That's what they determine. And they determine what is credible and what is not. You see, anyone in the new media, there are certain people in the new media who are okay. When I say new media, I'm talking about the internet. I'm talking about the various websites. Oh, there are some that are accepted and others not. Who determines that? Who determines that level of credibility? Now, it was mapped out by experiments and operations through the Tavistock Institute, and it's being employed today. It's the people at the highest pinnacles of power, the shadow government. And I spoke about the Exchange Stabilization Fund before. Market Skeptics, I believe it is, .com, has a really great five-part series. I think it's on marketskeptics.com about the Exchange Stabilization Fund. And this is really the shadow government. This is really the backbone. This, when you talk about who's controlling and who's pulling strings, the ESF is the That's who's doing it. And who's at the center of that? Well, it's the Secretary of the Treasury. Because you see, people think, wait a minute, people think the Fed's bad. Well, the Fed basically and the Treasury at this point are the same entity. You go back to the starting of the ESF and you understand, America at the inception back in 33, 34, we were a bankrupt nation. And of course, many people look at that as a starting point of when America became what it is today. But excuse me, the other aspect of this, and we're going to get more into that tomorrow because that's so important. And then the local community control, the infiltration, what we talked about the first hour. You cannot control everything, so you can't. I mean, the best way to do this is to create choke points. And that's why the federal government is so consolidated, because it's easier to control one or two choke points than it is to control 10,000. So what is taking place now on a community level is infiltration, subversion, but infiltration. This is where the opening applies here. You cannot, for example, at least in the early stages, you cannot determine the wheat from the tares. And this is how it all comes together. In the geopolitical realm, in the political realm, and in the, well, in really all venues, when we say time is short, the wheat and the tares have matured. Now you are starting to, you're beginning to see the wheats and the tares. You're beginning to see that your field of wheat has been infiltrated by tares. Could you have seen it 10 years ago? Oh, you had hints of it. 20 years ago? Probably not. The wheat and the tares weren't growing up very much, but now they are. Now, as time goes, you can see, at least in our view, you can see now as the crop matures, now it's becoming a little bit more clear. That's why you have that feeling of dread and feeling of, oh my goodness, there's stuff going on here. I didn't see that. Well, it's because the wheat and the tares matured the same, and now we're seeing, we're able to distinguish the infiltration, the level of infiltration. And that's why 2016, 2017 is really the crunch time, as Paul McGuire calls it. And you might, to the skeptic or to the hardened of heart, they might say, well, wait a minute. You know, doggone it, you said 2012, the world was going to end, right? No, we never said that. No one said that. No, at least not anyone sane and rational. No, here's what we're saying. Time has progressed. And during that time, the wheat's been growing, the tares have been growing, side by side. It wasn't mature enough. The time, really, it just wasn't, they weren't mature enough to be able to tell the difference. Now, at this moment in time, you're beginning to see the difference between the wheat and the tares. And that is causing strife, that's causing internal problems, that is causing the powers to pull the trigger, metaphorically speaking, on certain things that they've got to do. Now time is short, because if you're out there, you're going to be looking around and saying, wait a minute, that's a tear, that's wheat, that's tear. Okay, now it's time for action, because the globalists have been pushed in the corner in power, and people, even those with the dullest of senses, with the most difficult spirits, are beginning to wake up to the fact that we've been gamed. That's why, with each passing day, each passing week and year, and I'm not sure how many years we have, as in fact, how much time we have after the 2016 election, but this is why, with the maturity of the wheat and tares, we can see the difference, and the globalists know that. The people know that. We know that. Everyone knows that. Now, with the maturity of the crop, it's about harvest time, folks. It's about time. And now it becomes even clearer, because just beyond that field, well, what's not being talked about? What's the game plan? We know that the larger game plan is the establishment of the old world order as the new world order. That's without debate. Kissinger, Soros, Clinton, Bush, Obama. I mean, name a globalist who hasn't uttered the words new world order. So what do we look at? Is it Zika? Is it the Zika virus? Wait a minute. We're being told that the Zika virus has, you know, it's. In fact, on the news before I came to the studio today, there was a news bulletin. Our county, caution to those pregnant women. Microencephalitis.
What was the warning? Watch out for mosquitoes.
Yeah, exactly. Because they live under your bed, and they live in your closet.
They live in the snow. I mean,
no, it doesn't matter. See. they live in your house. It was ridiculous. Wait though. Okay, hold on a second. You see the incident, because they're warning pregnant women, the incidence of microencephalitis, small headed unborn children children when they're born. What's that all about? Population control, right? Well, I was talking with Ted Broerte, who had either John Rappaport or Wayne Allen Root on this program, forgive me, I can't remember which, and he said, this whole thing, this Zika virus, is a ruse You see, there have been instances of this microencephalitis or microencephalopathy. And it's not caused by mosquitoes, it's not caused by viruses. Perhaps, well, maybe in a third world country where there's bad immune systems and sewage for water supplies. No, 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 no. You know what causes that? It's drug, drug abuse. The majority of cases of that condition can be traced back to drug abuse. And it's kind of a simple, but it's not really a simple formula. But when you look at the numbers and statistics, it goes back to the primarily people with that have abused drugs extremely. And it reminds me of AIDS and the HIV virus and AIDS. Okay, kind of reminds me of that. That's just my personal perception. So, but what's that a cover for? What haven't we talked about? Was Obama? I mean, what's Obama? What was Obama tasked with?
Change,
open change, right? But when we're talking about the New World Order, Old World Order, globalization, what's at the end of the? I mean, what's the one of the main things that we're not hearing about that we should be hearing about? While everyone's cheering for their candidate, how about the Trans-Pacific Partnership? You see, it was back in 2008 that Susan Schwab, the United States Trade Representative for the United States, announced the U.S. entry into the TPP. And, of course, this ties in with economic factors of today that include, but are not limited to, the Baltic Dry Index. We talk about that. Everyone is talking about it. Have you heard about it 2 years ago? No, probably not. Why all of a sudden are we hearing about it now? Because it's making record lows. Well, why now? Why are we gaining this level of understanding? Why are people now talking about the Baltic Dry Index? It's you need to talk about it. Well, why? Because people are watching it. Well, why now? Well, it's an artifact of the TPP. It's part of the TPP. So you got to look at things and look that Obama was tasked, since he came to power and selected in a position of power since 2009, he was tasked with the implementation of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Remember last summer, everyone was screaming about the fast-track authority granted to Obama. You see, this is the largest free trade agreement ever. It involves most of the world's economy, and it's got to be done right now. It's got to be finished before he leaves office. You can't not finish it. Wait, you started out talking about the wheats and the tares, and you talk about the candidates, and you talk about, you know, X-Files, and now you got the
you left out Nazis.
Nazis, yeah, we forgot about Nazis, but see, yeah, I do it, dare I say that the
yes.
Nazis, this is all part of it too. Oh, yeah. The Exchange Stabilization Fund, that's part of it. Money, power, infiltrate. Look, all the dots connect. The Tavistock Institute, they're all means to an end, or methods and motives and tools. And the people that we're looking at right now, they're all the people that have been selected in to usher in this final death blow to this country. That's what we're looking at. Embedded now within the... embedded now in our country, infiltrated now with the wheat, are those people who have been tasked with bringing in the final building blocks of this global governance.
The finishing of the pyramid.
That's right. And if there's nothing else, if you take nothing else away from this program, if you think, my goodness, that's 3 hours of my life I'm never going to get back, I hope you don't feel that way, but if you find yourself feeling that way, and you find yourself saying, well, what did I really get out of that? What's the takeaway from this? Well, here it is. The tares are becoming obvious. So is the time of the harvest is coming near. The globalists, realizing the fact that you and I and others are becoming aware of the tares and the separation from the wheat, they must act, and they must act rapidly, and they must have their key people in place. Nothing is going to stop them. No law is going to stop them. No constitutional whatever is going to stop them. The means? Well, TPP. And as we talked about a little bit yesterday, the health, the centralization of health records. And, of course, the Obamacare, which is key to all of this. Because you need the medical records.
Mm-hmm.
You need that information. You need that implementation of the RFID technology and the technology in order to tag and bag ultimately the American people and all of the people in the free world. You need to destroy the economy in order to digitize everything, because you can't control what you can't see. They can't control what they can't see, so they gotta launch a war on cash. They've got to control the economy in order to control cash, and they got to control the economy. So they've got to do it through the TPP in a larger sense, but they also do it on a local level. All of this is coming together. It's coming to a head. And you've been saying, well, time is short, time is short, time is short. You've been saying that for a long time now. Well, it really takes time to in this case, in this analogy. Go ahead.
And if we were told that time was short, as the
isn't that even more true now?
Apostles,
right?
Of Jesus were writing the New Testament. How much shorter is time now?
That's right. It's funny because people say Christmas is coming, and then somebody say, "Well, yeah, you said that a week ago." Well, it's even more true now, isn't it? Well, see, that's where we're at. It's easy to get caught up in the frenzy of the ground level theater, and that's where the majority of people are, and that's where the majority of people are going to be when the stuff hits the fan. And those are the people who are going to be asking you, hey, what just happened? What just happened here? Well, to those who are spiritually and intellectually more mature, they've watched the wheat grow. They've watched the tares grow. And now we're in the process of being able to see the tares from the wheat, differentiate the two. And I find it telling. I don't know about you, but I find this very telling right now. You look at certain individuals, groups, websites, authors, producers, prosecutors, senators, representatives, you name it, who put so much effort into exposing and taking down people like Hillary Clinton. Look at what they're doing now. I could name names, but it's easy. Just, folks, those people who understand what I'm talking, you know what I'm talking about. The people who have said Hillary Clinton for prison, for example, where have they turned their guns? Have they persisted in going after and exposing and pushing for a prosecution of Diane Rodham Clinton? No. No, they've turned their guns on the enemies of the Clintons. Terror. Infiltrated. Co-opted. What about the patriot groups in this country? pushed and compelled into making decisions. Infiltrated. Many have been infiltrated and co-opted. But to what end? I mean, this is not happening in a vacuum. It's for a time, and the time is now. The time is gaining on us. I shouldn't say it's now, it's gaining on us. It could be tomorrow. I don't know. We don't know. Do you know when it's going to be? Eh, probably not. Huh? It's coming.
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Yeah, well, it's coming. So, I'd like everyone to really understand, as Joe began so eloquently with the wheat and tares parable, now it's becoming more clear. It's becoming clearer. The larger picture is that, as an analogy or metaphor, a parable, I suppose, is the most accurate way. We have to learn from that. We should learn from that. Because now the time is upon us, or is it nearing? And this is why we are feeling that heaviness of spirit. This is why we are seeing that muddy of the water. This is why it seems like now... seems like now is the time that it's crunch time. This is why Paul McGuire had done such a great job in the article. You can go to HagmanHagman.com, and it's linked off of HagmanHagman.com. But it's crunch time. So we have a choice. We're faced with a choice. We either stay at ground level and we partake in the, oh, it's rah-rah Trump, rah-rah Cruz, rah-rah Rubio, or Clinton or Sanders. We stay at the ground level and do that, and go ahead and understand nothing, absolutely nothing. Don't understand anything about the bigger picture, and stay at the kindergarten level, and even find solace, if you will, find some level of satisfaction in staying there. Because there is this feeling, this somewhat serenity, if you will, of not knowing the bigger picture. It doesn't absolve you, right? It shouldn't absolve you. No, it doesn't absolve you at all. No. But it certainly gives you some sort of physical relief, doesn't it? To be at that level, to stay at that level, and to argue like kindergarten kids about things that really don't make a hill of beans difference in the end. Ah, see. That's where they want you. They want you there at that level. They want to keep you at that level. They want you to be an infant intellectually. That's what they want. And you are very compliant because it feels good. You don't have to think too much. You can accept what's spoon-fed to you and be happy and go shopping. That's what they want. You've been programmed. You've been brainwashed by, well, you've been, it's been a process. It hasn't been just one or two or three events or councils or groups. No. It's been a process. It hasn't been isolated. It's been a process, and it's been growing and growing and growing and growing over the years. And now they've refined it so much. Oh, there were times like during Nazi Germany where they really refined the genocide. There were times like right after the Kennedy assassination, really talk about trauma-based mind control. And then RFK or Sirhan and Robert Kennedy, another trauma-based mind control event. Through the tools, the Freemasons using the tools, the checkered floors and the polka-dotted dresses, I guess. So now today in 2016, we have a generation, in my view, who has been sufficiently dumbed down, sufficiently sold the idea that if they're old and can't work a cell phone like me, or choose not to, if they've got arthritis or they have Alzheimer's, it's okay to kill them. Oh, abortion, it's okay. My body, my choice. Now we're up to 4,000 a day here in this country. Life meaningless. Mission accomplished. That's this generation. It's actually the last generation before, now this generation. Cash bad. It's easy to swipe a card or tap a card. You want to buy your groceries, tap a card. That's where we're at today. How'd we get here? You think the counterculture revolution, that wasn't important? Oh, it was big. You see, this is kind of like a history professor, maybe. Not me, but just maybe in 2090, looking back and saying, I'll tell you, class, this is what happened. This is how things went. This is how the stupid people in the West, the dumb Americans, this is how the takeover was accomplished. This is how Lucifer got so many souls before God stepped in and separated the wheat from the tares, made the harvest.
In 2012, when Ron Paul was running for president, he did a commercial based on the future in a Chinese classroom, where he talked about the fall of the West through their economic and political mistakes, kind of like what you just said, only it was for the purposes of furthering
his campaign. I'm sure he did a much better job, too.
But, yeah, I mean, we have been set up. The country that we live in, I believe, and as time goes on and the more we see that comes out, was, I would hope, at one time set up for a purpose of to create men free to worship God without persecution from the Catholic Church, without the different, you know, religious types of infighting that was going on back then, and the persecutions that were being carried out, both political tyranny and religious oppression. But the more I look and the more I think and the more I read my Bible and ponder these things, I keep coming to the conclusion that this country was from the beginning, and maybe not in theory, maybe not physically, but the idea of this country was the same idea of Babel. A government ruled by a tyrant, rebellious against God, for the purposes of trying to finish their invasion of heaven.
Hmm. So that's a bigger picture, really. That's the heavenly
and view. That bigger picture only being known to, you know, a few dark principalities and powers that have guided the men who have committed the actions that got us to where we are today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Throughout history, in decisive battles and in times of great revolution and change, there has always been an unknown man that comes around to make the right speech or to take the right action to guide history in the proper direction.
Mm.
From orators to George Washington getting shot point blank on the battlefield 6 times and not having a hole in his, remember the tour we took at Valley Forge?
Yep.
You know, he received divine guidance in his own words from 3 spiritual guides that appeared to him as orbs at night. gave him the visions about the world wars and the destruction of America. Gave him positions of the enemy's the enemy in the Revolutionary War and their positions and where they their plans. And without that information, he would have went away in defeat.
Mm.
There's always a spiritual intervention. And when I say spiritual, it's good or evil, usually evil, because the interventions of good are done without, I don't want to say without proof, but without, there's no need for the Lord to say, this is my work, because his
right.
work
it's
is...
It's self-evident. It's right. not, it needs no verification. It's got the...
As in yeah. Daniel, when yeah. Daniel prayed and when he sought wisdom, an angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came to him. Gabriel didn't come to him as some UFO or some green orb to give some vague, you know, detailed information for that time and place. An angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came to give Daniel what Daniel understood as the vision of rebuilding the temple and to the end of things, from the coming of Messiah Jesus Christ to the end of the world.
Hmm. Yeah.
The dark spiritual entities keep their human masters, or the masters of the humans who are humans themselves or human hybrids, in the dark as much as we are, to a great extent.
And we need to, we really need to know that. The tools, you're right, the enemy, see, we consider ourselves pawns and cannon fodder. We, meaning the Christians, the good guys, shall we say, or the those on the side of righteousness, but are not those who are being used, are not those who are considered the fallen ones, in the employ, shall we say, of the demonic forces, are they not pawns as well in a cosmic game, or a cosmic, I shouldn't say game, but this cosmic war? Of course they are. And we can take it a step up from that, couldn't we? And say, well, you know, it's almost like the people who are at the ground level, who are engaged in the feel-good stuff, where we don't really have to think too much. We can root for our candidate. We can make America great again. Not that there is anything inherently wrong with that, the attempts to do so, and in fact, we're called to do so. But to live in that simple area that gives everyone kind of the freedom to feel okay and not really look at, I mean, they're like in the room of a house, we'll say. But they're not looking around. They're not looking outside and seeing the storm clouds of the storm that's bearing down on the house where they're about to lose their house, yet they're playing comfortably in that room. So, yes, you're right. I mean, it's very interesting the way it plays out. And yes, it is the same. You know, folks, and I just want to, somebody had sent an email during the air, and I just want to say thank you to Susan Jay.
Yeah.
Please don't forget Lavoie. Lavoie Finicum. You know, we had talked about this, and I just want to make something clear, because maybe I guess I didn't make this clear initially. And I know Stuart Rhodes was on with JB today, and Lavoie Finicum was murdered, in my view, in my estimation, mm-hmm. in our view. Was murdered, not killed. There was no shootout. He was killed. He was murdered, executed by our government.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who are pointing the fingers and saying, well, those people were crazy to do what they did. I want to go on the record and say this. If any of you, just to be clear, and I initially thought, well, maybe wrong place, wrong time, wrong people. But doesn't the wheat and the tares apply here too, the infiltration? I mean, I had mentioned earlier, we had mentioned, we talked about this, that the infiltration has is everywhere, involving every group, every... So, what's different about this group? The level of... They've been infiltrated, absolutely. But does that negate the fact that there was a guy that was executed, a man, a patriot, who believed he was standing up for his rights? He was executed by our government, and no one says, wait a minute, this is wrong. Oh, wait, Black Lives Matter. Hands up, don't shoot. That matters. But who in the hell is speaking for the people who are murdered in cold blood, and that includes Lavoie Finicum? I don't care if you disagree with... I don't care if you say wrong place, wrong time. There are two separate issues here, in my estimation. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. The guy was murdered. He's a patriot. And, you know, you think, oh, well, it's a, yeah, wrong place, wrong time. They're stupid for doing that. Gee whiz. He's stupid. Really stupid for doing that. But you know what? Is that what you're going to say when you look at the statistics and you say, well, statistically, I mean, that's not going to happen to me because I'm, you know, but I'm going to stand up for my rights, doggone it. I'm going to do that. but then, see...
It's not going to be stupid when your door is kicked in, yeah, and your house is confiscated, yeah, and your family's put under subjugation or slavery. Is it going to be, you know, stupid?
Right. Should have paid attention to Lavoie Finicum. Should have paid attention, yeah, to that murder. And you know
should
what?
Should have stood up for property rights.
Right. Well, we should have looked at it the way, I mean, we should have looked at this the right way. And we should have, number one, held the press accountable for not reporting this. We should have held our government accountable for not saying anything when he was executed. We should have asked more questions. We should have been more proactive. And I know people out there, they are. But once again, divisiveness comes in. Once again, infiltration comes in. And the patriot movement falls apart, just like the conservative movement falls apart, just like the Christian movement. I don't... Excuse my words.
There is
here.
A patriot movement out there, but I believe it is more so every man for themselves than anything
right.
else.
And you know what really propels that is jealousy and envy. It's the root of this. You know, okay, we're going to change the world, but we're going to do it using my website, my terms, my doctrine, my whatever.
Right.
Okay. And that's... Here's what we need. We need a leader. We really don't need a leader.
We need ideas.
We need a group of people that don't give a damn about their own egos, that don't give a damn about what people think of them, that don't care about, they just don't care about hits on a website or getting rich or being right when when I say being right.
You know what the sad part about that is, though? Anybody who's like that would never take the role.
Well, it doesn't have to be. If we all collectively get together and say, forget the egos. Forget. I don't care if your car is shinier than mine. I don't care if you get more hits on your website. You know what? In doing this, and I'm going to say this flat out, I could care less. We get reports every day. Oh, this is your listener. You know, here's how many people listen to your show. Hey, you're growing. Yay for us. Okay. But you know what? At the end of the day, who cares? I think, who cares?
If one person was led to Jesus Christ
there you
the
go.
Whole time we've been on the air, then this was fruitful.
Right. And we look at the figures, the numbers, and we know that they've been, you know, messed with. There's no... You look at the numbers on live... You think the live views are accurate? It's not what our servers say. No. No. Numbers. So if you're into numbers and into rank and into who looks better than who, well, have a nice life. But if you just want to get the truth out there and don't want to, you know, if you don't care that, oh, I should lead it. I should lead the band. I want to lead the band. No, you can't do that. And again, this is not against any one person or group or whatever. No, this is about survival in the earth as we are today. This is about surviving what's coming. Anyway, so I just want to make sure that people were clear in our position. Yes, we do believe Mr. Finicum was executed. We believe that there was a crime committed by our government. We believe that this is being done, and people are being... it's so sad that to see comments on so-called conservative, now politically conservative, message boards and forums that just rip apart these people.
Yeah,
and they don't give a doggone about the life of the man.
And the commenters from the left who use the word, I mean, from the abortion news, that, I mean, like I said, I heard extremist, terrorist, anti-women's health advocates,
yeah,
anti-abortion extremist, propagating terror against Planned Parenthood, an organization that does good for women and children, and, you know, we would basically die without it.
Yeah.
I mean, and this can't be said enough, with the indictment of the video makers and the people. And I heard on the news today,
yeah,
how they used false identities to gain access. You know, that's legal. They were saying how that's illegal. It's legal.
There's something wrong. There's something wrong when they'll let the murderers of unborn children,
yes,
go and indict the video people who are bringing the evidence of this.
This, you and me witnessing somebody beating up an old lady to death out on the sidewalk, and us reporting it to the police, and getting arrested for reporting the murder of this old lady that we witnessed. That's essentially what happened. I mean, it does not get more lawless than this.
That's right.
The only step further we can take towards lawlessness is absolute lawlessness, which is survival of the fittest.
Yes, yes.
No laws, no authorities, no, yep, governments, just you and your human instincts and needs versus the other 7 billion people on the planet fighting for the morsel, a crumb, the only crumb that's out there, you know, that will keep you sustainable or surviving.
Yeah, let's fight for that, though. And that's what it's coming down to. Well, hey, don't worry. Look, Paul Ryan is Speaker of the House and telling everyone not to revolt. I'm sorry, you were.
Well, I just wanted to say, but as the parable of the wheat and the tares, showed that the tares are gathered first, put into the barn to be burned. The revenge is the Lord's. We always have to remember that.
That's right, but that does not give you a free pass of appetite.
Oh,
apathy,
no,
you know,
no.
And
what's Paul Ryan doing?
I just want to mention that Paul Ryan is just saying, hey, relax, everyone, to the conservatives. You all right? Should we increase your oxygen level? Or
relax.
What? Are you okay?
Relax.
Holy
compared
cow.
To what?
Somebody better get those.
No, that was funny.
The paddles.
Well, what is he telling people? What's going on that people need to relax?
Well, he said, hey, look, we're all angry. You know, Paul Ryan was at a policy summit. He kicked it off. Policy summit at the Heritage Foundation, and he had a clear message for the conservatives who have been his allies over the years. But
relax, I'm going to do what I want.
He said, hey, please, now listen to this, please don't revolt, at least not until next year. That's what he said. Don't revolt, at least not until next year. So just a message to everyone, don't revolt, just wait a year and then revolt, then it's okay. Yeah. Look, we're at the end of the program.
How much do we get in our bunkers?
Yeah, really. But now tomorrow we're going to have a special program, and I'm not going to reach down and grab you and show you what we're going to be talking about, but it's down there. See? It's down there. Yeah, you can't see it. Just take my word for it. It's going to be a special program tomorrow.
Thank each and every one of you guys out there. Congratulations to J.B. Wells.
That's
on his 2-year anniversary.
Happy birthday.
You
happy
got
anniversary, whatever
a chance to do the interview today.
Yeah.
We want to thank all our listeners out there, all the people who pray for us, who support us, and send us letters, and uplift us. You know, we come in and get the mail, and
we
see, you know, thank you guys. You led me back to the Lord, or I love your show. It is uplifting, and we thank you for being there and for being the best audience that a radio show could ask for,
absolutely,
any show could ask for.
Speaking of numbers, we want to get YouTube live watchers up to 5,000. What do you think?
Yeah, 5,000 live.
Yeah.
Spread the shows far and wide.
Sure. All right, folks.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.